Our next guest's path feels almost predetermined. Olva Goodwillie, who traces her whakapapa to the earliest inhabitants of Rakiora Stewart Island, was named after the jewel in the National Park's crown, Olva Island, Te Wharawhara. The largest island in Paterson Inlet, Olva Island's been a scenic reserve since 1892 and pest-free since 1997. Never milled, the rainforest harks back to that of Gondwanaland. And for over 20 years, Olva's company showcased its natural beauty and teeming bird life to thousands. With over 40,000 visitors a year flocking to Rakiora Stewart Island, 30,000 of those will make the effort to get to Olva Island. We last spoke to Olva Goodwillie just over 3 years ago, when business was booming in spite of the pandemic-imposed border restrictions. However, 3 years on, there's a changing of the guard at the famed Olva's Guided Walks. She's sold the business and is due to step down as owner at the end of the month. Kia ora, Olva. Welcome back to 9 to Noon.
Oh, kia ora mai rā. Tēnā koe, Catherine. Lovely to speak to you again.
Congratulations on the one hand, but it is the end of an era. And how are you feeling about it all?
Yes, it's rather surreal, actually, but I'm just so pleased that it's going on to another company that has the same values and heart and love for the third largest island in New Zealand and Olva Island. So I feel good about it, but it feels strange. I don't know how else to explain it. Yes.
Can you tell us anything about who is taking over? It's a fairly major operator, I think.
It is a major operator, and it's a New Zealand family company. So, but I haven't been given the go-ahead,
even though
a lot of people know. But I just haven't been given the go-ahead. So I thought, well, I'll just pass that one to the side for the moment.
All right, and but it is a big experienced player. Okay.
Yes.
Bring us up to speed with where you got to in thinking about this, and this being the time, Olva.
Well, I probably started thinking a couple of winters ago, and then last winter I really made up my mind to let it go to people that have who are able to be able to do all the things I think about what we could do. Why don't we do this and why don't we do that? And now I know that this new owner can go ahead and do a lot of the things that I used to think about. But because it's a small local company, we are better known overseas than we are in New Zealand, I think. That came to the fore when, in lockdown, just after lockdown, when we had everybody from Auckland coming to Stewart Island, and it was always on their bucket list, but they had never been here. So they were,
It was a bizarre bonus for you in a way, wasn't it? That New Zealanders couldn't go anywhere else, so they all came to you, which is great.
It is great, but we had to be rather quiet about it because there were so many other tourism industry players that were
suffering,
really hitting. Mm. Yeah, and it wasn't the time to, you know, say, well, we're doing well. Because everybody likes to come to our jewel in the crown, really.
Oh, well, just let people know, and there'll be a crush on bookings before you leave at the end of the month, so stand by. With only a few days left. But just give people an idea, whether it's Rakiora, whether it's Olva, the sorts of things people see and experience.
The main visitor attraction is, the order is Kiwi Spotting, and then it's Olva Island, then it's the Great Walks, and then it's fishing and other natural history type wildlife places that we've got here. But because, and the other thing is that only, I think there's a guesstimate of 3 to 5% of the whole island is inhabited. So 18% is owned by the local Rākiura Māori people, and then the rest of it is national park. So only a small portion of the whole island is covered in podocarp forest. And there are so many things that make us different from the rest of New Zealand. And we are a granite rock. The rest of New Zealand's volcanic. There are remnants of granite throughout New Zealand, but Stewart Island is a granite rock. It's not a good granite rock, but it's granite. Therefore, our soil is different. We only have podocarp forest. We don't have any beech forest. And we have plants in Ngāhere, and our birds are endemic and native to our area of the world. Like, we do have birds and plants here that you don't have up north, and vice versa, or vice versa. But it's just an incredibly different feeling coming here. We have a sense of the way that it used to be. Some people would call it quaint, but it's a really great feeling. And we get people that want to come here. We don't get the usual bus trip. People arriving, they will come because they all want to be here.
You've
So
got to
we
make
don't
an
have.
effort. Yeah.
And they want to see the rare and endangered birds and plants that you can only get here, you see. So it's the conservation and the environment are really important, and we're surrounded by a brilliant ocean, and we're pretty pollution free, but our forest goes down to the sea as well,
Your
so
family
it's
is deeply rooted in this place. Your whakapapa on both sides of your family, Scottish and Māori. Tell us a little more. How many generations back? Over.
Well, the original iwi would be, or tribal people would be the Te Rapuwai, then it's Waitaha, then it's Ngāti Mamoe, and I say ki te Rākiura Ahika, because I live here, so, and we are of this land, then me Ngāi Tahu, ko te iwi. But the Scottish, they came 6 generations ago and moved in with the very friendly Maori woman that were on Ōneki, or the Neck, which is a peninsula about two bays to the right of our waterfront. And actually, there's a Rākiura Māori Land Trust annual general meeting this weekend, so there'll be an influx of local iwi that'll be coming this weekend for that.
What was it like growing up there? One imagines a lot of time in the outdoors, making the most of that not completely untouched, but largely untouched beauty relative to the rest of Aotearoa New Zealand.
I think it's not that you take it for granted, but that was just the way it was. And it's not until you go, or you look back and you think, gosh, we were allowed to do this, or we got away to do that. And you'd go away for the day and you'd only come home if you were hungry. And everybody here, our school is amazing. They learn how to sail. They learn bushcraft. They have, everything to do with the outdoors. They are capable of looking after themselves in an outdoor environment. And then they are, they go to New Zealand or the southern part of the South Island and take part in all of the schools, so they get to be with other children of their age. But it's a different way of bringing up children on Stewart Island. I really do believe that if all children should be brought up the way that they are here on the island. In fact, a village brings up the children here. We don't even have 400 people, I don't think, but the school community and the tamariki community is inclusive.
Do
You
you
know,
call the
it's really
mainland New Zealand? Seriously, do you? Did you let it slip then?
Well, we're often not discarded, but my favourite saying is we are the third largest island in the New Zealand archipelago. So, but yes, but we have there's an hour by ferry or 20 minutes by plane, and the real journeys, the real journeys, or no, it's Real New Zealand now. They are the biggest sponsor of our school children. They go free on the ferry. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of, children and families that probably wouldn't get to the town, mainland or
Gosh,
New
that's
Zealand.
extraordinary
Yeah.
generous, isn't it? Have you
Oh, it
ever
is
lived anywhere
amazing.
else over?
Yes, we went away for 14 years when, children go to high school or university, and then we sort of came back. But I wasn't brought up here. We were living in Invercargill, and we just came back here for the school holidays because all of my, grandparents and aunties and uncles, and they always lived here. There always seems to be a member of my whānau that live here, and the majority of the rest of my family are quite envious that I live down here, and they come as often as they can. So it's all
Along with everyone else. Olva Goodwillie is our
good.
guest. She is owner of Olva's Guided Walks, but as we said, the many, many years she's run this business, this institution, she's moving on as owner at the end of the month. You're listening to 9 to Noon with Catherine Ryan on RNZ National. Before we talk a little bit more about the Guided Walks and the company, could you give us, remind us of the history of Olva, the island, your namesake? Because there
Oh.
was real foresight shown at the time to preserve it in its natural state. Yes, by whom?
It was there was a it was the post office for Stewart Island, because as you said earlier, it's in the central part of Paterson Inlet, which is the Drowned River Valley, and it takes 6 to 7 minutes to go by water taxi across from the Golden Bay Wharf to Olva Island Wharf. And it was, because it was central and it was at the entrance way of the ocean, you had to go past Olva Island to get to the sea, or the other way around. So when the boats used to come around Olva Island to get to the rest of Paterson Inlet, the postmaster would go and put up the pole, the flags pole, and everybody would know that the mail had arrived. Because remember, we had thousands of men killing fur seal for the seal skin. We had, in latter years, we had a whaling base, which was Norwegian, and then that was a whaling base, and then we had over 30 sawmills cutting down the trees. We're talking 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s, and the we were trading with Australia before, the first settlers arrived in the rest of New Zealand. So we were pretty busy down here. It's only because we had the product. We had all of this amazing product to be used and sold. And that's why it was really busy down this part of the world. And that's, and Olva Island from then, when the postmaster died, it was 7 hectares of land was purchased by a family, a hunter family that have been here for what, 4 or 5 generations. So they're an amazing family, and they look after those 7 hectares. But the Department of Conservation work in well with them, and they look after the whole of Ulva Island, along with the Ulva Island Charitable Trust and things like that. But Ulva Island, as far as we are aware, was named after the Ulva Island in Scotland, which is at the bottom of Mull. And everybody knows Iona Island, but there's Iona and then the Staffa Rocks, where Mendelssohn's cave overture is supposedly comes from. And then there's Ulva Island, and it's a little bit bigger. And the laird from Ulva Island over there came to this Ulva Island quite a few years ago and went back and was highly motivated to plant. I think they've planted over 300,000 trees since they went back. So they're doing their bit over there as well.
The pest control, though, this has been such a key part of things, and obviously it's part of Rakiora National Park. Obviously, Department of Conservation very involved. But when did that really ramp up? The pest
I
control,
think,
yeah.
yeah, the pest control has sort of always been there, but in the year 2000, when we became a national park with Helen Clark was a prime minister at the time, and we had translocations of birds from other parts of Stewart Island, and I know that there was a big push to ensure that that they had updated and reinforced the barriers of the rat traps that they have around the beaches, around the coastline, every 50 meters and 100 meter grid lines. And we have a fabulous rat detector dog called Gadget, and Sandy King is the owner of two rat detector dogs. They're dog, well, conservation rat detector dogs, and they go and check the Ulva Island as much as possible, as well as they're busy enough doing all the boats on the ferry and the ferry and things like that. So they're busy, very busy.
I think there was a rat spotted recently, actually, wasn't there?
I know they're onto it though. They're
Indeed.
onto it.
And
I think
so
because there was
since the eradication really ramped up, what birds have been released? I mean, there's so many species there. Introduce us to some.
Yes, the rarest bird we have is the Chiaki, which is the South Island saddleback. And there were only 35 in the world in the 1970s. And 30 of them were brought to Ulva Island around about 2000, 2001, and released on the island. And they've done exceptionally well. To even 30 were taken to Orokinui in Dunedin
Wow.
to see if they could go there. And that was the first time that the South Island saddleback had been in the South Island for over 100 years. So they were really thrilled about that. I haven't caught up with to see how everything's going with them, but the saddleback is an amazing bird. They split the species. There's a North Island saddleback, you see, and they split the species a long time ago. The South Island saddleback takes 18 months to 2 years to get that beautiful orangey brown saddle on the back. And they've got two orange wattles on the side of the beak. And the longer the wattle, it's the male. And shorter wattle female. And they like to bound across the floor because they hate to fly. They'll run up a branch and then they'll glide down. We've been told they'll be flightless within a
Goodness.
thousand years.
Use it or
So
lose it, team. There's the
that's
South Island
right.
robin there. There's the Stewart Island rifleman. These are all little birds, aren't they?
I know. Oh, they are, they're stunning. And the little wee brown creeper, or in the Mohua family, the brown creeper, yellowhead, and whitehead are all cousins. And the whitehead is only in your North Island, Tiritiri-Matangi, I think. And we've got the other two on Stewart, on Ulva Island. Oh, they're fabulous, brilliant birds. Have you heard of an artist called Ross Himara? Himara. He paints birds, and one of his paintings has underneath it, Manu I te tangata whenua me te atua, which is the birds are the intermediaries between people of the land and the atua. And I thought, oh, that's just so true. The manu are, they are between us and the gods in the sky and Papatūānuku. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
They're
indeed.
just
They
amazing.
connect
They're
us.
amazing.
Yes.
Yes, they do connect us, and that's how, well, I feel about it, Ulva Island. But it's just so amazing. And all I required of our guides was that they love Ulva Island the way that we do, and everything falls into place, you see. So
Kiwi there
it
as well,
just,
of course. It fell into
yes.
place for you, Ulva, but you had to work pretty hard to get that business up and running. And
Yes.
now that you're letting it go, what was some of the determination required in the early days and years?
Look, my first big learning curve was learning how to cost. I had no idea that I did, but I just thought, oh no, I can't charge that much. People won't pay to come for a walk and, pay me to take them on a walk just to look at birds. I had to be spoken to quite severely by some marketing people about how much to charge, but I did feel embarrassed about it. And then the first 2 years were diabolical because I hadn't taken into account the standard costs, which are always there, the compliance costs. And yeah, I didn't think about that until later, of course. And it's only a 6 month business. You have winter off, except for lockdown, of course. But we usually are able to have winter off, and that's when we're supposed to catch up with if all our planning, our future planning. But yeah, the costing of guided walks and, additions for pelagic bird spotting and boat costs and things. So that wasn't in my sphere of thinking,
Well,
whereas all I wanted to do was go and show the birds off,
you know, some decades on, you're still here, which shows you managed to make yourself do it. We
I
should
would.
just
Well, we
finish over of this, the guidebook, of course. That's captured so much of your knowledge as well. One of the first bird watching companies on Stewart Island, so many firsts, of course. But can we just finish with a local update that might be worth touching on? I can't remember if we talked to you the last time there was a drama over the wharf, but there seems to be. No, it was another Ulva Island operator, I think, last year about the issue. The wharf in a severe state of disrepair and an impasse between dock and the council over who should pay. Has there been progress lately, Ulva?
Yes, but it has been, sorry, let's start that again. That has been fixed up now. It will be closed at the end of June, and the ownership will come out of the Southern District Council hands, and it will be brought back into local hands, which it never should have gone out of anyway. But the Hunter family on Ulva Island is taking over the ownership
Wow.
of the wharf, which is fabulous. And they will be getting a user group together to maintain it and keep it going so local users can keep using it now. But there are still some council bureaucracy that needs to be gone through, like Environment Southland or Southland District Council. And once that's all completed, it should be up and going again.
So those local
crossed.
Those local families keep making the contribution generations on again, as have you. Just very quickly, what are you going to do with this time now? Just get out and enjoy it yourself.
Yeah. I think it's most of it's been already filled, but I intend to do nothing, Catherine, absolutely nothing for a little while until I get sick of doing nothing, and then I'll start actually travelling. I'm going to be doing a lot of travelling.
So hard earned. Hard earned it is. Thank you, Ngā Mihi Nui, and well done, Olva Goodwillie, and ownership of Olva's tour company. Olva's Guided Walks is passing to a new owner she can't name just yet, but a significant operator will be taking that over, and she said the co-popper will continue. She's confident of that. Olva Goodwillie, our guest